What's going on, Clipper Nation? Shout out to any new listeners who might be tuning in.
Oh, I think we got some new ones after this weekend.
Thanks so much. We appreciate new listenership. We are Locked On Clippers, part of the Locked On NBA Network, coming at you 5 days a week with all the fresh Clippers content you can handle.
Woo.
Hosted by your friends, William the Opinion Update.
And Positive Chuck Mockler.
And we got a heck of an episode.
Oh, we do.
We got a great show lined up for you today. We're going to be talking the trade. I'm sure you've already heard of it.
God.
But we're going to be talking a little bit more now that we've had a little bit of time to digest it. We're not just ranting about how excited we are at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get into a little bit more X and O talk this time that we didn't get to before. We've had a little bit of time to look at some numbers a little bit more, talk a little bit about how we kind of see lineups working. I think that you and I might even have some differing ideas on what the starting lineup could look like.
That's the beauty of it.
It's
going to look good no matter what.
And then talk some of our favorite things that could work. We're also going to talk about Jermichael Green and how important that re-signing was for this. And we're going to wrap things up with a little bit of summer league talk. Clip's got some stuff cooking there. Didn't come out with the dub last night, but hey, some of the guys look good. So all that and more coming up right about now.
So in case you somehow missed what happened.
Yes.
I don't know how you might have. Maybe you're only a Monday through Friday sports aficionado. In case you missed it, we signed Kawhi Leonard to a 4-year, $142 million deal and then traded Gallo, RIP, Shea, that one hurts, and 5 first-round picks to the Oklahoma City Thunder for Paul George.
Yep.
Late-night Woj bombs, man. They came out of nowhere.
Definitely.
It's like midnight, which was fantastic. This vaults the Clippers into kind of immediate Western Conference Finals dreams in our heads.
Yes, which I kind of don't love.
This kind of goes into like the Clippers fan base is now, we're now dealing with, we went from maybe not 0 to 100 after last year, but we went from around 35 miles an hour to 100.
Yeah, a chill 35 to 100 for sure. Here's the thing, is there's still a lot of games to be played.
Oh, yeah.
Not that I really have doubts about these guys, especially after we locked down Jermichael, which is one of the most important signings of the offseason.
We said that was the biggest thing on our Friday pod. It was like, this is great. We're in such good position, but if Jermichael Green is a pretty big cog.
Huge piece. He just adds so much dimension to this lineup. But I think, as a Clipper fan, I've never really got into thinking this way before.
It feels weird.
So it feels a little dangerous to me. So I'm initially going to say, you know, we got a team that we can be excited about.
Yeah.
Let's be happy with that and just kind of see where we go. I don't like when stuff gets so blown out of proportion.
Odds have the Clippers at number one. It's like, hey, Vegas odds don't mean anything.
Yeah, and also I just feel like it starts to overshadow the season when, like, man, there's a lot of great basketball to watch.
Absolutely. It's really, people are thinking, and it's hard not to, on Friday night, of course, everyone rightfully so.
100%.
Was thinking about the future, and by the future we mean possible championships for the Clippers, which still my mouth muscles aren't used to saying those yet. But yeah, I mean, I kind of talked about this. We were also wrong. We didn't think we were going to get 2 max guys.
No.
We were wrong on that.
Yeah, I was firmly wrong. I said that we needed to realistically, we were looking at 1 max guy.
Yeah.
I didn't think that the desire to team up would be as great as it was.
I didn't
this
think
offseason.
It, same here, and I also, a lot of people I think thought Shea was untouchable.
Very much so. Very, very much so.
So now we're at this point where people were kind of saying we're going to get 2 stars, and if we get 2 stars, we're Western Conference Finals. People are saying favorites, but I think the West is too good and too open-ended to say that anyone's a favorite for the Western Conference Finals right now.
I know. That's the thing, too, is so many teams got so damn good. We don't know what a lot of teams even look like anymore.
Yeah.
The entire landscape of the NBA has changed.
Yeah. So
for the better.
Oh, it's so great. Next year in the NBA is going to be fun as hell.
Next year is going to be the first year, I mean, that I can remember in a very long time that it's like, man, who the hell is going to
win
the title?
Yeah. But yeah, expectations. You know, I feel like also people's expectations, I haven't seen too many people, at least on Twitter, talking about like, we're going to win the finals next year, which I kind of
except for Lakers fans.
Yeah, which I kind of expected. I expected a couple of people in Clipper Nation to be like, we're going to the finals, F everybody. I will say,
oh, there has been, We have a couple things we got to address.
Yeah. If we don't make the finals this year, the NBA finals, I'm not talking Western Conference finals, we need to also, let me backtrack a couple sentences, sorry. People are trying to figure out if we've won this Paul George trade. And that remains to be seen. Mm-hmm. That's like 3 years down the road we'll know if we won it, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It goes with Shade's development. It goes with, there's so many pieces.
There's a lot. And like what those picks end up materializing into. I don't know. The thing is context is, of course, everything.
Yeah.
I think we were just in a position where if we didn't make a move, we were not only going to miss out on the guy that we had looked for all year,
yeah.
We were going to miss out on a third runner-up MVP player,
yeah,
and the guy that we wanted, our mark, if you will, would most likely be playing across the hall.
Yeah, we had to make the trade.
I just don't see that as I can't really think of another option.
There wasn't one. That was why the Thunder got such a good haul.
I know that was they had all the leverage in the world.
It was it.
And
you know, you got to make moves like that.
You do.
If you want to, there's the Boston situation where you have all these assets and then nothing really happens.
Yeah,
and
for sure.
Is really deflating to a fan base cuz you're like, "Well, this kind of sucks."
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
As opposed to us who we signed Kawhi and then just get punched in the face by also trading for Paul George.
Well, it's like the same thing. I mean, I think initially when I looked at the Anthony Davis trade, I thought, did they maybe give up a little bit too much?
Yeah.
But the thing is like you're looking at a perennial all-star, and that brings a legitimacy to your team where it makes other people want to go, you know?
For sure.
Like that helps you get those great vets on lower contracts. Even like your DeMarcus Cousins, who we don't really know what he's going to look like next season. I mean, he's going to be way more willing to take a pay cut with the Lakers than he is for the Pacers.
Yeah. And, you know, that's how you get your Avery Bradleys if you're the Lakers, you know?
Yeah. Your key signings.
So now I guess we can kind of talk about, we can get into a little bit about lineups.
For sure. Yeah.
So the full roster at point guard, we got Patrick Beverley and Jerome Robinson.
I would switch this. I would have Patrick Beverley, Lou Williams.
Okay, Patrick Beverley and Lou is the points.
Yeah.
Shooting guard, we got Shamet and Jerome.
Hell yeah.
Small forward, we have... This is all where it gets kind of interchangeable.
This is goofy, yeah.
Small forward is where we have... I'm going to say small forward and power forward all kind of together.
Yeah, just forwards.
Paul George, Scooter Magruder, Terrence Mann, Kawhi Leonard, Mo Harkless, Jermichael Green. For centers, I'm putting...
Did the Clippers front office listen to me? I preached all of the last year that the forward depth was paper thin, and we needed more forwards.
They doubled back on it. They more than
even though we had a bunch of forwards too last year when Tobias was still on the team.
Yeah.
Need more.
And I'm putting Fee in the center position, so we have Zoo, Trez, and then Fee.
Okay.
In the center position, his reach is just so crazy that like. Or I guess he shoots well as a 4-2, so let's put him in the tweener category, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, to me, Jermichael Green is also firmly in that tweener category. I would...
4-5.
Yeah, I think that there's going to be, like, our version of the death lineup is definitely Jermichael Green at the 5.
Yeah. Jovan Buha is at Summer League. He's hearing chatter that Kawhi and Paul George are going to be slotted at the 2 and the 3 and the 3 and the 4 when they play together, which I don't think surprises too many people. It'd be weird if they weren't at any other positions, I think.
Yeah, yeah. No, both of those make sense. Well, that kind of transitioned perfectly into our next segment.
Oh, yeah. Should we do that after the break?
Give them all
this
break?
Cliffhanger? Guys, coming up after this, we're going to be talking all lineups all day. We've got a lot of numbers to crunch. First, I want to give a shout out to Grip 6 Belts. Hey, your pants are a little loose.
Put a belt on.
Put a belt on.
Your pants are around your damn ankles. Where's your belt?
It's on grip6belts.com.
All right, so
break it down,
let's
man.
Let's get into some projections. And
this is great.
This is conjecture for sure.
And this is the lineup. When you start throwing around some of these lineups, it's just like it feels so good.
Yeah,
these are so fun to interchange.
So I'm going to give you what my projected starting lineup is for the starters.
Yep.
So I'm thinking Pat obviously is going to be running the point. I think that Kawhi, or maybe George, will most likely be at the 2.
Okay, for sure.
I think George is maybe even a little bit better suited to play the 2 than Kawhi, just because of his passing game.
Yeah.
So let's call it, Pat at the 1, George at the shooting guard position, which is so funny to say.
Insane, yeah.
He did play that a little bit in OKC too. Kawhi at the small forward. Mo Harkless at the power forward, he's 6'9", he's 200-plus pounds, he's a big boy.
Yeah, and plus then defender.
Ivica Zubac at the starting center position. So I like this lineup. I think that it's really pretty complementary to one another's skill set.
It's really good.
You have guys who offset each other's offense and guys who offset each other's defense.
Mm-hmm.
And this lineup defensively is pretty crazy.
This lineup, so I tweeted about this. I said, like, if you're a primary ball handler and Patrick Beverley's guarding you, you're choosing to switch in this lineup
mm-hmm.
to either Kawhi, Paul George, or Mo.
Yeah.
So, like, you're effed for the most part. If you're trying to, we're going to switch everything this year, and it's fantastic.
Definitely.
Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, so if you want to look at numbers, net rating per 100 possessions, which, you know, I'm just going to acknowledge, I'm just going to preface with this, these can be skewed numbers.
Yeah, not a catch-all stat.
Not a catch-all, but I do like it as a baseline to just kind of get the
idea.
Get the conversation going.
Yeah.
So this projected lineup of Pat, George, Kawhi, Mo, and Zu has an offensive rating of 116, which is really pretty solid.
Eight.
And a defensive rating of 107, which is elite.
That is, dude, that's a...
If every one of your starting players has a defensive rating below 110,
you're good.
That's wild.
And I was on I did Locked On NBA with David Locke last night, and he asked me what the most common lineup we were going to see. And I gave this lineup, but I think I had Green in for Mo.
Oh, interesting. You're moving Green into the starting lineup.
Yeah, I was going to put Green into the starting lineup.
Okay.
We'll get into that in a few.
No, I could definitely see that. That adds some more defensive depth to this second unit. I guess before we move on,
yeah,
though, with this projected starting lineup that I put together here, do we worry about Pat as the primary facilitator?
I think a little bit.
So
that's going to be, I think, the bit. Like, there's obviously issues with every lineup, and that seems like this might be... We still have some cap room left. Not a whole lot, but... This might be one of those issues.
Pat Beverley last season averaged about 4 assists a game. But I think what does get interesting is when you look at the ability of, you know, your Paul Georges and your Kawhis to also run a little bit of point.
Yeah.
They can, both of these guys are in the top 10 in terms of points per possession as the primary ball handler in the pick and roll. Now, this is based on numbers from stats.nba.com, and this is based on only on players who are the primary ball handler in the pick and roll at least 3 possessions per game.
So enough that it actually matters.
Yes, for sure. And both of these guys, you know, are solid pick and roll ball handlers, so pretty good decision makers. I know that Kawhi doesn't have the best reputation as a passer. He's generally passing out of traps and kind of like,
yeah,
when he doesn't have a move.
For sure.
But I do think that we saw that elevate a little bit in these playoffs.
And he's going to have, I mean, he just has pieces around him. Like, we're going to see so many fantastic sets this year. There's,
yeah,
possibilities everywhere.
Yes.
Every single person in this lineup, other than Zu, I guess kind of maybe Mo, there's just, I mean, defensively, it's a brick wall. Offensively, it's still really good.
Who
wants it? Like,
yeah,
who's going to get it tonight? So I like your projected bench lineup actually a lot.
So just a couple last thoughts on this start.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The only thing that suffers a little bit is maybe the three-point shooting. Kawhi isn't necessarily an elite three-point shooter. Let's see. What did he shoot last year? Sorry. 37%. So, yeah, pretty good. Not elite.
Plus.
Not elite in the modern NBA.
Yeah. These days?
These days. And I guess one last question for Clipper Nation. Are we sad that if and when Landry Shamet is relegated to a bench role?
I'm not happy about it.
Yeah.
But I'm not sad about it.
It's also, this is not a guarantee. You know,
yeah, for
nothing,
sure.
Nothing is really guaranteed. As I said, these are just projections. But this transitions perfectly into what I think is the best bench in the entire league. No bias, obviously.
I think the bench thing, too, is we brought in KD and, excuse me, Kawhi and Paul George. So we brought in two guys where there's you know, if you're losing your bench spot to someone who you might think that you're as good as, or you have as much respect as, or whatever, that might be an issue. I don't think it's an issue when you're losing it to Kawhi and Paul George.
Yeah.
Because you're just like, I get it. I'm a second-year player. This is the finals MVP and the third runner-up. Like, definitely. I can't be too... I mean, I can be upset for sure, but Landry's a professional. He knows how this goes.
Landry's a professional. And also, I think with both these guys on the floor, it kind of limits the amount of touches he would even receive if he was on that first unit.
Yeah, so that's what I was going to say. That's what I love about this projected bench lineup.
So projected bench lineup... I think we're going with Lou Will at the point, or yeah, Lou Will at the point. Shamit obviously at the two, Laundry Jammit, Shamit.
Oh yeah. Really.
Rodney Magruder holding down the small forward position. He's a little undersized, but he plays a decent amount of minutes at the power for at the small forward. Jamichael Green obviously at the mighty four.
Goddamn.
And Montrezl Harrell, our dude,
at the five.
At the five. So what I like about this lineup the most is. It gives Lou and Trez a lot of space to work.
And Sham.
Yeah.
This lineup, so Sham on the bench, I think, is going to be... Dude, Sham, Lou, and Trez, it's like... I'm just thinking of how good that's going to look next year when they're all on the court together.
I know. This, to me, is a lineup that, like, if you're talking playoff lineups, we can still run 10 deep.
The depth of this team right now, that's what I was saying earlier about all the lineup possibilities. You could convince me that any lineup is the best one.
Oh, any you combination. Know,
any
of these
combination.
Guys. Yeah.
I'm just like, sure. For why sure. Not? Obviously, any realistic ones, but it's just like, yeah, why not? And then we also haven't even talked about the rookies who might get a little bit of time, but we'll talk about that in the next
for
segment.
For sure. So, as far as offensive rating for this squad, 114. Really, really solid. Defensive rating for this squad, 111, which is, you know, it's. That's going to be an issue.
I thought it would be worse.
The defensive rating would be worse than this?
Yeah.
Yeah, so
just because of Lou.
Magruder, these are all based on last season's numbers. And
got
Magruder
it.
Had a little bit worse of a defensive year last year than he's had previously. Mm-hmm. Injury, obviously. Yeah. And Shamit, I actually think his defensive rating will improve. Let me see what it was at.
If he gets to where he was in the finals, even or in the playoffs close, it'll be, yeah, it'll improve.
Yeah, his defensive rating for the season was 114 as a Clipper. Mm. But I think if in playoff terms, it was in the playoffs, it was definitely better than that.
For sure.
So this is definitely, I think on the flip side, though, this lineup might even be weaker defensively than these numbers indicate.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's just always going to be an issue with Lou and Sham, to be perfectly honest.
And Trez, kind of.
Yeah.
But the scoring's there. Like, the scoring is. And then, so, in terms of other projected bench units, say Paul George needs to rest, Kawhi needs to rest, or something like that. You throw these guys in, you maybe put George in there for Magruder.
Yeah.
At some point. Just to see what happens. And that's unstoppable.
Yeah.
Like.
This is where, like, the load management comes into play, where.
The built-in load management.
Built-in load management, where maybe guys don't necessarily have to take whole games off because they're playing so little minutes.
Yeah. And Paul George might, you know, his timetable, there's still some kind of fuzziness on when exactly he's going to return to the Clippers. I don't take your time, man.
Yeah,
we're built right now that we can kick it.
Definitely.
Know? Like, he's gonna come back. He's already had the surgery done. Like, there's some lineups on here. I think Justin Russo, his name's Fly By Night, posted one that was like our version of the Hampton Five.
Yeah. So to me, our version of the Hampton Five is Lou Will at the point.
Yeah.
Shamit. Holding up the two.
Yeah.
I think I love to watch those guys play together.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm saying in this lineup, you end up going even smaller than normal. You've got Paul George and Kawhi, and then you run Jamichael at the five.
Okay, so you got Lou, Landry.
Paul George and Kawhi.
Paul George and Kawhi.
Wherever
Green
you
at
want,
the five.
And Green at the five.
I like that. I like it even, too, if Bev's having a hot night, you go Bev and Lou.
Yeah.
At the 1-2, dude. Because that's like, then you can, that's a lineup where you can really just be like, hey, Lou, you know, obviously if Paul George and Kawhi are okay with it, you can have Lou just be like, this is, all right, go ahead, man.
Yeah.
You're all good, bro. What do you think? There's been some talk, this is a chemistry issue. There's been this talk of Paul George used to date Doc's daughter and then cheated on her or something.
Don't matter.
Don't matter. Doesn't matter at all, right?
I wouldn't think so.
I can't possibly think that would make Paul George want to play worse basketball, or that it would make Doc want to coach him in a way that would make the Clippers play worse basketball.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, it is hard to separate personal things, but I don't know, man. I have no clue.
I think for Doc it's hard, but he also already coached his son, so he's like done the hardest thing you can do.
Yeah.
In terms of separating personal relationships from a game. I think that's probably the hardest thing you can do.
Yeah,
I think he'll be fine. They've all grown from then, too. And his daughter's engaged to Seth Curry.
And it'd be one thing, like, if Paul George sucked. You know, like, if Avery Bradley was coming to this team after having cheated on Doc's daughter.
Like, you're playing the five tonight.
I mean, like, yeah, then I think it'd be an issue. But, like, when you have, like, the third runner-up MVP.
Minus 2 minutes. Yeah.
Yeah, when you have the third runner-up MVP, I think you kind of put that shit
and
aside.
I'm sure it's been squashed or something like that. Guys, let us know what projected lineups you want to see. We got a mountain of them you could send at us, and I'm down to read all of them. We're both ready to just see what you guys... Tinkering is so fun with this lineup, dude.
It really is, yeah.
I came up with some lunatic ones that were really exciting. I think I had like Lou, Sham. They all just feel lunatic because they just seem so good.
Yeah.
Lou, Sham,
Pat, Jamichael, Trez. Throw it out there.
That one seems crazy.
Seems great.
Lou, Sham, PG, Kawhi, Green.
Yeah. Wasn't that the one I just said?
I think it was. They're all just so great. And then, of course, I think we're going to get to see some better passing from Zoo this year.
Yeah.
Like, this is going to open up Zoo's facilitating.
Yeah.
Because he's going to have a million people to pass to. And hopefully his fingers have healed. They might still be broken.
Maybe you go Pat, Magruder, Mo.
Damn, dude.
Trez. Zubats.
Fine with it. Who cares, man? That's great. Magruder's going to be great. Oh, we're so excited. Let us know your lineups. Coming up after this, we're going to be talking expectations, because everyone has them right now, and a little bit of some Summer League wrap-up.
All right. So what are your great expectations?
We've been asked, I feel like we've been asked mostly about how many wins are we going to get and how far are we going to go.
Yeah.
Right now,
floor is 55.
Floor for me is 55.
I got to be honest. The floor is 55. If we won less than 55 games, I'd be pretty bummed.
If we won less than 55 games and didn't end up with a home seed, I would be pretty upset. I would be like, God damn it. The road's harder still, but
yeah,
you know, all that matters is getting to those playoffs.
The road's harder, and like we can, I mean, I think we can reasonably assume that Kawhi maybe plays 60 games. Not even that I don't think that he's
strong enough
to play 82 games. It's just like, if you don't need to,
we need it for the playoffs. Yeah, I think it'll be less. I think it'll be around 55.
Yeah.
Something like that. Also, how much time do you think we're going to see Kawhi and Paul George together on the court per game?
I would guess, it just depends. If we're playing teams in the Pacific Division,
Pac-Div,
I do think that it'll be a little bit higher, but I would still think, you know, like 7 or 8 minutes. Like, I don't really think you need to run those guys in the ground together at the same time.
Especially in the regular season. I think it might be around like a quarter of play, like 12 minutes or something like that.
That's fair. That's probably a little bit more realistic. Yeah. I was just trying to err on the side of caution.
For sure. And in terms of like closing out lineups, conceivably, if you wanted to, you could not play both of them in a pretty damn good closeout lineup.
Yeah, that's fair.
Like, if you want to, you know, if you really need to.
And there's still enough versatility just like with the playmaking of Lou Williams and then like the shooting around him, as well as we have some options to go with size with Zubats and some of the larger guards, I guess just Magruder now.
Yeah.
Now with no Shea. But there's still, a lot of dimension. And I think that a big part of that, we talked about this a little bit off top, is just Jamichael Green.
Yeah. Exactly, dude. Like you can run three guards, Bev, Lou, Sham,
yeah,
or Magruder in there in one of those three spots. And then maybe Mo and then Jamichael, or Jamichael the four and Zoo with the five. Like,
yeah, or
he's such a movable piece.
Yes. Yeah, he is. I think that he's going to be really a big sort of linchpin in keeping this offense in keeping the offense going for sure, and just allowing for a lot of lineups to gel and give a break to both Kawhi and Paul George.
Jermichael Green, this is a very deep reference.
Yeah, what
do you just
got?
Hit me. Reminds me of, I never played paintball as a youth in Montana. It was a very popular thing.
It is very popular.
Where we're from. There is a gun called the Tippmann 98 Custom.
Yes.
Which is a,
I believe it's a $1,000 gun.
It's a very expensive paintball gun, but the reason it's so coveted is because the custom means you can put any attachment on it and it can do pretty much anything.
Yeah.
That's what Jermichael Green is to this team.
That is a very bizarre reference.
It's very weird.
But you know what? I'm rocking with it.
It works. You can put him in at lineups that you think might work because he's not going to disrupt any flow, really. He always knows where to be, so it's not like he's jockeying for a new position. Or you can put him in old lineups and it works.
Yeah.
Like, he works anywhere for this team. We saw it as soon as he played for us.
He fit in so seamlessly, really, before. And Doc had talked about them not really even getting a whole lot of sets purpose-driven.
They had one practice for like 2 weeks.
Like, purposely driven for Jermichael. And he was still just so quick to, you know, be a contributing member of this team. And I hope that that can keep up. I know that there were some issues with his kind of ups and downs, I guess, on the Memphis Grizzlies. Didn't catch a whole lot of him as a Grizzly,
no.
So that's my bad. But, yeah, I think that if he can maintain 80% of the level that he reached in the playoffs, in that playoff run there, as well as like the last March, I just think that that's a great piece moving forward.
Yeah, other than the two max guys that we signed, he was the most important one.
So talking about max guys, should we bust over to our third segment?
Let's bust over to the summer league talk.
All right. First of all, looking very stylish today.
The summer league?
No, you.
Oh, I'll appreciate that.
Shirt untucked.
Oh yeah.
Where do you go to get such a fine untucked shirt?
You go to Untuck It. They're shirts that are button down shirts that look good untucked.
Wow.
Which I know sounds weird.
What a brilliant idea.
But sometimes you need it.
Sometimes, yeah. You don't want to look like an idiot.
So the summer league team, we lost last night.
Yeah.
Tough. You know, it doesn't really matter in the grand scheme of things. But we're giving you guys a bit of just a recap on what the draft picks look like.
For sure.
So there's a pretty big, I'm absolutely in love with Fee Cabangeli right now.
Yeah.
His size, if you haven't seen him play something on the court, he looks well bigger than everyone else out there. And I mean body size-wise. The dude is a brick wall.
Which won't translate at the next level.
Not at all. But it's nice to see in summer league.
Oh,
it's
for
nice
sure.
to see him be like, oh no, that he has an NBA build 100%.
He's a developed guy.
Yes.
You know? In that aspect.
Yes. So, pros. The 7'3" wingspan, even just from the two games you and I have watched, makes a difference.
He's already got some highlight blocks.
Dude, he had last night against the Grizzlies, he blocked a guy's dunk, and then the guy went up again, and Fee got a clean block, but they called it a foul. But, like, the replay is just all ball. His second jump, as we noted in that draft breakdown, unbelievable.
Yeah, and I think that's really going to behoove a guy like Fee, given his size being a little bit smaller, his shooting has looked good so far in summer league.
His stroke looks good.
I don't know how that's going to look at the next level, but I think even just having something as defined as, like, we know that he can soak up boards, it gives him a better opportunity to carve out, and I'm not going to say a lot, but it does give him a chance to carve out maybe some developmental time on this team.
Yeah, he seems to have.
It's going to be really hard this season. Yeah, and
yeah,
you know, we still
we
might
have 10
not see
guys.
Him. Yeah, we still like might not see him. But I do think that like having a skill set or having that one thing that we know that the role that you can fill, I think especially for this team, kind of gives you a better chance to have that tool pulled out of the drawer at some point. You know?
Yes. His outside shot, the form is there, which is nice. He hit, I think, 3 3-pointers last night.
For sure. The release looks a little slow. It is a high point release, though, which I think is good. That'll keep him from getting blocked, help him get it off over some defenders. But yeah, not the quickest release.
Not the best decision maker in terms of passing. He knows when to shoot, but in terms of passing, it's a little, you know, he's a young player.
For sure.
But I'm super excited about him.
He also did the Dikembe finger shake, which
he's got to do that more. Terrence Mann, very fun to watch.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how much we're going to see of him in the regular season with the first team. I don't think very much.
No. We're just pretty stocked up on guards.
Yeah. The first summer league game, he was just sprinting in transition every single chance he got.
Oh yeah.
Dude, he looks fun in transition.
Yeah.
He throws a bunch of no look passes.
He's a fun to watch player, yeah. For sure. Yeah.
He threw a no look pass to Fee for an oop, which was fantastic.
Which is like great to see in summer league, but like you're getting put on the bench if you throw that.
Oh
and
yeah,
Doc is watching,
dude. And Algo Caliente, they might bench you too. Shooting is a little meh. Passing looks very solid for a second round pick. Another thing I liked is that yesterday in the game he was mic'd up and he was actively talking with the guys on the floor, keeping guys engaged, and not in a dickheadish way.
Yeah.
You know? So it's great he gets to be around Pat. You know, all the guys were there. Shea was at the game last night. You know, shout out to a real one. But I'm not sure how much play he's going to get, but he's really interesting. He plays good defense.
Yeah.
He's long, too. Like, he looks really good for a second-round pick.
He does. Yeah, I'm curious to see what ends up happening. Do you think that we just stash both these guys in the G League, or do you think that...
I think we do. That's fair. We bring them up and... do a two-way or something. I want them to get playing time. I want them both to just ball out in the G League, I guess.
You know, that's a good point. I think that it could be a little bit better developmentally. I guess the only thing that is interesting about these guys is they both played it. They're not one and dones, so they do already have a little bit more experience, but it's, you know, albeit at the college level.
Yeah, and I think they might be making each other look great because they played together. Yeah. So that's a nice little boost, I think, in terms of play style. And then... Jerome Robinson.
Yeah, so the mystery case of Jerome Robinson, he has been ill.
He was sick the day of the game on Saturday and then sick again Sunday, and they still played him, which I was kind of bummed out about.
I mean, yeah.
It's hot in Vegas. Let that man chill.
He does not need to have his flu game in the summer league.
I think he had something like 10 points last night. He missed a couple shots short, but again, he's sick, so I don't like... I was talking with a guy on Twitter, and I think I was coming off a little negatively about Jerome, which I didn't really mean to, but he was like, you know, we can't really glean anything off this. He's sick in summer league. And I was like, I agree. But,
oh, yeah, summer league.
And I'm like, why is he even out there then?
You cannot glean anything meaningful from summer league. I'm sorry. It just...
How much time do you think he gets this year?
So many variables. Jerome, I think if Landry is coming off the bench, it's going to be... really hard for him to carve out minutes. So,
on the first team roster. I don't think you think he's going back down to the G League, or do you think he's on the full time?
He stays
roster?
On the roster.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they wanted to have him stay on the roster last year. We just had a bunch of guys. He had that injury.
And we were winning. We weren't in a position. I don't mean that Jerome would make us lose games. We just weren't in a position to be like, go figure it out.
Yeah.
As we're smack dab in the middle of this playoff race.
Yeah. No, most definitely. And so he could see a little bit of time, which makes it, I guess, even more likely that Man will be spending his time in the G League.
Yeah. Guys, that about wraps it up for this Monday edition of Locked On Clippers.
Thanks so much. Tune in tomorrow. We're going to have Twitter Tuesday for you guys. We will be live. That's at Locked On Clips. We usually go live at 1:30 Pacific.
Yeah. So right around that. Shout out to all the new listeners. Please check us out on the Himalaya app.
Yeah, check us out on the Himalaya app. If you listen on iTunes, please subscribe. Give us a rating
please
if you get
do.
A chance. If you vibe what you're hearing, you know, 5 stars. If you hate what you're hearing, you know, let us know what we can do better.
Let us know about that. And if you're visiting Los Angeles and you need a place to stay, www.hotels.com.
It's the only place.
They got hotels. Stay in them. I have been Positive Chuck Mockler.
And I've been William the Opinion Update. Thanks for listening.